A young boy dies after suffering horrific burns. Roger Cook's incoming government and Perth's wettest day in 5 years. It's Tuesday, the 6th of June.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy Tuesday.
Happy
I'm
Tuesday
waterlogged.
To you too.
I'm wet. The carpet's wet at home. There's leaks.
Oh, you got leaks?
Oh, it's happening.
There's a lot of that going around. We had a leak. Water, I think, getting into the wall cavity and shorting out the electricity. Our producer, Mel, very similar. I wonder how many people around town have really been hit pretty hard by this storm. And we talked last week about where have all the rain bombs gone?
There they are. Rain bomb. I've put it on Sunrise this morning.
Good.
We've had our studio director, Peckers, I'm calling him out here. There's no such thing as a meteorological term, rain bomb. And I'm like, it's entered the vernacular.
Yeah.
You know, like language changes over time, you know. Otherwise, we'd all be speaking like Shakespeare, and we don't. So anyway, it's typically called
speak
a microburst.
Speak for thyself.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we can definitely call it a rain bomb because we have been hammered. How's this, though? We could record up to another 25 millimetres of rain today, as if we need it, after this winter washout. Did you see the WA Day Festival? There were still people braving the conditions, getting out there. Good on them. We've recorded almost 100 millimetres of rain since it started falling on
Wowzers.
Sunday. Yeah. Lots of rain. We've seen roads that have had flash flooding. We've seen people wading through the water at the airport.
Yeah.
This morning, you'll see on Sunrise, there's a tree down at Bold Park at the Aquatic Centre. That all happened just before people started arriving for a swim. I mean, really, they could have just stayed home and had a swim at home rather than going to the Aquatic Centre.
Yeah, yesterday I tried to see where water was coming in through the roof, so I got up and had a bit of a look. All I did was got wet. Didn't get any closer.
Do you know what happened to me? So I've just remembered this. I had covers on the outdoor furniture because it's all exposed.
Yep.
And then, of course, the wind was so strong and I thought I'd tied it down, but I didn't. So it's blown off on the balcony and I'm like, the chairs. I'll just bring them in. And I've got these kind of big sliding doors that go right across the balcony. I said to the kids, because the wind was strong, I'm just going to run outside. So I've sort of stripped off because I didn't want to get soaking wet out on the balcony, and who's going to see me out on the balcony? And I said, when I come back, just open the sliding door for me a little bit, because I'm carrying these chairs with cushions and an outdoor rug. And I run to the door, got them. It's pissing down rain. They've accidentally locked the bloody door.
Yeah,
so I'm stuck out there, and they're trying to open it. I'm yelling at them, push the knob up, push it up. You know, anyway, eventually open the door. I'm soaked anyway. Yeah. The furniture's soaked, you know.
Freezing as well.
They're like, Dad, we think we accidentally locked you out. And I was like, yeah, you did.
Very suspicious. And now this was a story, I think, that shocked everybody when it happened last week. The house fire in Geraldton that left a group of boys with very severe injuries, and now it has taken the worst possible turn.
Yeah, a 12-year-old boy who suffered horrific burns in this house fire in Geraldton in Mount Tarcoola has died in hospital. It's understood he sustained severe burns to 90% of his body in the blaze. Two boys, aged 13 and 14, still fighting for life in Perth Children's Hospital this morning. A fourth boy suffered burns to his hands and he was discharged from Geraldton Hospital last week. Now, police are investigating at the moment whether there was no adult supervision at the time and whether these boys were perhaps playing with petrol. So that's all to be looked into at this point, but just a terrible turn.
Yeah, indeed. And now, down here in Perth, Roger Cook is expected to be formally announced as Premier today, and he's going to name his cabinet. What can we expect?
Well, he's going to be sworn in as Premier after Labor caucus today officially votes him in as WA Labor leader. Then tomorrow he'll announce those portfolios with the swearing-in to be held on Thursday. Roger and Rita, I feel like it's like a radio duo, isn't
like
it? Like
Roger
a breakfast radio duo. They made their first appearance since Mark McGowan's retirement at the WA Day Festival. There's been a lot of talk about the portfolios, especially about Rita Saffioti potentially becoming treasurer and holding on to transport as well, and what sort of workload that means.
A lot of work.
And also whether there's an issue, because not that there's a conflict of interest, but obviously the treasurer has to say no to a lot of things to keep us out of the red, whereas we have Metronet, which is obviously going over budget in areas because of labour and supply costs. And so it's a bit difficult to say no to your pet project.
Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see how the internal conflict plays out.
Also, a lot of reputational investment is in as sunk into as
100%.
Well, right?
You know, look at Alana McTiernan. She was known as, you know, the Mandaraline person. Rita Saffiotti has been front and centre with Metronet, and she's not going to want to let it fail, especially with an impending election where she's the Deputy Premier.
It's a very interesting reporting by our colleague Josh Zimmerman in the West today. David Michael from Labor's right faction is expected to be one of the new entrants to Roger Cook's cabinet. I'm not sure what he'll do, but he has a background in local government as a Deputy Mayor of City of Stirling. So local government could be a portfolio for him, which might mean a change for John Kerry.
Yeah, there's talk he could go into the planning area.
From Saffiotti. And interestingly, they're expecting Amber Jade Sanderson, who of course challenged Cook for the leadership, to keep the health portfolio. It was thought that maybe she might have to be demoted, but I don't think anyone else wants health.
No one wants it, and I think it's a smart move to keep that stable leadership over health, especially at this point.
She's done a pretty good job.
Well, you know, even when the nurses' union is saying, please don't change the minister, and they've been having a few barmies, that, you know, it's probably the smart move from Roger Cook. You also don't want to make enemies.
Yeah, that's right. And I think
you
also
out of a leadership spot.
I think it's very hard to see anybody coming out of that health portfolio and really, really challenging for the leadership because it's tough. It's a tough gig. I think it's hard to look good in that portfolio because there's so many problems all the time.
Yeah.
And now we've had problems with Beijing and trade relations with China. It's been a big issue, especially for us here in the West. ScoMo kind of kicked it off when he wanted an independent investigation into the source of COVID, whether it was a leak from a Wuhan lab. And China didn't like that and introduced tariffs, all kinds of restrictions on our exports. What's the latest?
Well, it's all about defrosted fruit this morning because trade relations with China are improving, with Beijing removing barriers on Aussie fruit, including mangoes and citrus from WA. So Chinese authorities, what they've done, they've updated this list of approved Australian producers, and that means these producers can now start exporting their products to the nation's biggest trading partner for the first time in 2 years. And that's expected to generate hundreds of millions of dollars of extra trade. So I know this big mango producer up in Kununurra, they'll be able to now export their mangoes. Be interesting to see what it means for prices for
us. Exactly what I was thinking, because I've been thinking mangoes have been pretty cheap
good
the
news.
Last couple of years.
Well, at first I was like, this is great news, you know, for our exporters. Great for the farmers. And then I was like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
With supply and demand, if there's more demand,
it's like
less supply,
crayfish,
we're going to have to pay more. Yeah. Remember when crays were $20 at Christmas? When everyone had crayfish for Christmas?
What a time to be alive. Now, this story that broke yesterday over on the East Coast is a fascinating one. The tale of Kathleen Folbig. And so she was once considered one of the most hated women in Australia. She's been pardoned over the deaths of her four children after spending 2 decades in prison. She was released from a Grafton jail on Monday after a decision of the New South Wales Attorney General Michael Daly. So she's always maintained her innocence. She served 20 years of a 25-year sentence after being convicted in 2003 of the murder of 3 of her children and the manslaughter of a 4th child. There's been a couple of inquiries into her case over the years. The most recent was conducted by former Chief Justice Tom Bathurst, and that examined evidence after new scientific developments that experts had said there was reason to believe that 3 of the children could have died of natural causes. In the case of Sarah and Laura, the 2 little kids, there was a reasonable possibility that a genetic mutation led to their deaths, kind of a SID situation. The council insisted the inquiry said that there was also persuasive evidence that one of Folbig's sons, Patrick, may have died from a neurogenetic disorder like epilepsy. And the death of the 4th child, they found that like a lot of that was related to this other, you know, the deaths of the other children, looking like it was her fault. But when you strip away some of those other factors and introduce reasonable doubt, then there wasn't really much evidence that she had also killed Caleb. And so though Bathurst is yet to finalise his report, he reached an opinion that there was a firm view that there was at least reasonable doubt as to the guilt of Miss Folbig in each of the offences, and recommended that she was pardoned and released, which happened. But now the final report's not going to come for weeks, if not months, and then it'll be a matter of whether she lodges a civil case against the New South Wales government. She's been told that she could definitely do that by the Attorney General, which would lead to, you'd think, a huge cash compensation. But it's important to note, the convictions have not been quashed. Only a criminal appeal board can do that. That's not what this is.
But that still may come.
Still may come. Yeah, that still might happen. But the pardon means Folbig is not required to serve the remainder of her sentence.
Yeah. I think it was a 25-year sentence, and she got 2 decades worth there. I was seeing on Sunrise this morning, Matt Doran was reporting from up in Grafton that she had a warm bath last night and a T-bone steak, and they had some vision of her looking very happy indeed.
Yeah.
I mean, this has really been pushed by the science community.
Yep.
To think that someone has been jailed for that long when the deaths of their children could have been caused by natural causes or genetic conditions.
Yep.
A, the devastation of the loss of those children. B, the devastation of being accused of being the person behind that. And C, just having to spend time behind bars for that length of time. I mean, that
unimaginable,
poor woman.
Right?
Poor woman.
It's made international news. And it's the sort of thing that could easily be, you know, one of those true crime kind of TV
podcasts
series.
Or TV podcasts, series. Yeah, for sure.
And are you much of a techie kind of guy?
Have you seen my iPhone?
No. Well, that's your work phone. So
it's my, and it's only got one lens.
Yeah, that's,
you know.
There you go. Well,
sorry.
This will seem like absolute.
Do you reckon now that I've mentioned this that I might get one with
upgrade?
Three lenses today?
Well, this next story will seem like absolute magic to you then, my little troglodyte friend. And so Apple has wrapped up its annual WWDC presentation and conference over in the US.
I'm
at
excited
campus,
about
at Cupertino in California. And did you see the big news? One of the boldest hardware innovations the company has released in years, one of the riskiest too if it fails, the Vision Pro.
Yeah, it's like a headset where you see
like
all your
ski
apps.
Goggles. It like, looks like ski goggles.
Yeah.
And you put it on and you can see all your apps. It's augmented reality. So it kind of overlays digital content over what you can see with your eyes in real life, right? So as opposed to other VR headsets, which kind of are like you can't see through them, right? You put them on and you could walk into a wall. This one allows you to actually see where
still
you're
see
going.
Ahead, yeah.
Although the company says people can see your eyes when you're you know looking around, but when you're actually engaged with an app, that becomes opaque to let people know. Oh no,
I'm busy.
Yeah, Matty's he's busy.
So if you're like on the train, someone goes to talk to you. No, actually, I'm otherwise occupied with my apps.
And so they're talking about already partnership deals with like Disney and ESPN and all of these other type of content creators and a whole bunch of app developers as well. Hundreds and hundreds of apps will be available when it launches next year. Do you know how much this bad boy is going to set you back?
Oh, it's going to be thousands, isn't it?
It's eye-watering how expensive
this thing is
going to be. So it is going to cost more than the top-spec MacBook Pro, right?
Yeah, how much is that?
$3,500 US.
Okay, $3,500 US. So we're talking like more than $5,000 Australian.
Yeah, it could well be.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It's pretty insane,
I mean,
right?
That's ridiculous. Do you know what my worry in all this is? Is that it's already bad enough now with people with their, you know, headphones in and all the rest of it. Nobody is talking to each other anymore. We're just becoming, like, we're worried about AI. We're becoming the robots.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know.
How's this going to help? It's not going to help. And the nearest competitor, to give you some perspective, is from Meta. Their AR headset is only about $1,000.
Okay, and it's available now.
It's available now.
And nobody's walking around with that, are they?
No.
So why does Apple think someone's going to pay? Yeah, but why does Apple think people are going to suddenly start walking around with this?
And you know what? Whatever happened to those Apple headphones? Remember they released those and it's like, oh, these are the headphones everybody's going to buy? I don't think I've seen them. I don't think I've
seen
them.
Not just
anybody.
The wireless head. No, there was
special
headphones.
No, they're like the ones that look like Beats. Their own. They did a partnership with Beats by Dre. Yeah, no. Well, we'll see. Sport. I got some footy stats from our colleague Chris Robinson's weekly six-pack of IPA column. Robbo has struck gold this week. So West Coast play Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval this weekend, and they have a pretty unwanted record in their sights. West Coast will be consigned to sharing ownership of the worst streak of thrashings in AFL-VFL history if they can't keep pace with Adelaide. The Eagles have become just the second team in the history of the competition to lose 10 straight games by 40 points or more, and they'll match North Melbourne's unwanted record of 11 from last season should they get blown out by Adelaide. And do you know what the average losing margin has been over the 10 losses?
Yeah, what has that been?
64.4 points.
Oh, wow. 64. So what do they have to lose by in order to get that 40
points,
record?
40 points.
So 40 points, and then that's
they
it.
Will they equal beat North worst, Melbourne to it. Worst team in the history of the AFL and the VFL.
Oh, wow.
Here's another stat. Number 13. Unlucky for some, not for the Dockers. So in round 13 clashes dating back 10 years, the Dockers have won 9 of them in a row.
Oh.
9 consecutive round 13 wins.
That's
which
an interesting
is the longest
stat.
Current winning streak of any AFL club.
Useless,
in any
but interesting.
Round. Well, listen to this, though. So last year in round 13, they had a 13-point win
oh,
over
well,
Hawthorn.
That was ominous.
This year, they're playing the Tigers. Guess where the Tigers sit on the ladder?
13th?
Yep.
Oh.
Spooky.
Should we buy a lotto ticket?
The Wild West.
And I know you love your animal stories.
I
this is
do.
Not a good one.
It's not a panda one?
No, Yellowstone bears are involved, though. Yellowstone National Park has urged visitors to protect wildlife after a string of incidents that have left animals killed or endangered. And so at the end of May, 2 adult black bears were hit by a car and killed. One elk and one bison also hit by cars. There's maybe some speeding issues going on in Yellowstone. A man grabbed a struggling newborn bison calf and another group of visitors grabbed a baby elk and put it in their car and drove off.
Oh, geez.
Bizarre, right?
That's really bizarre.
Yep, Yellowstone. Behave yourselves, people. And that's your news from the West Australian for Tuesday, June 6. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one. Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.